If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. I'm excited about today because I get to have my friend Kyle Olson with me, although we are talking about a very serious subject. So let me just give you kind of the background on what we're talking about before I bring Kyle in, because many of you have probably heard the name Ruby Garcia. Kyle actually broke this story about Ruby. So Ruby is a Grand Rapids, Michigan resident, and she was unfortunately brutally murdered by an illegal alien just a little over a week ago now, or actually just a week ago. So we wanted to kind of bring Kyle in and follow this story, because Kyle broke the story about this gentleman who I can't even call him a gentleman, the man who killed her being illegal. And this is something that I think is fascinating, because we haven't heard from the governor of Michigan yet. The state police knew this, but they didn't talk about it. We hadn't heard from the congresswoman in the Grand Rapids area until after you broke the story, after the state police came out, after a local news station went to Hillary Scolton and said, are you going to comment on this? And then she decided to actually do this. So, Kyle, I want to bring you in and talk about this, because to me, it's sort of an interesting twist that Hillary Scolton has worked on immigration cases for much of her life, and she refused to comment on this until it was drawn out of her by the local media. And then she still didn't put the statement out until there was a lot of pressure on her from national media outlets saying, come on, when are you going to say something?
Right. Yeah. It's a horrible story of Brandon Ortiz, allegedly was driving Ruby Garcia and shot her in the car and stopped the car on 131, which is a major highway that's running through Grand Rapids, walked around to the passenger side of the car, shot her again, dragged her out, left her on the side of the road, and drove away. And it's and what we have found since all of this came out is that he was deported in September of 2020 by the Trump administration, because he had been arrested again in 2020 for drunk driving. He had other run-ins with the law in 2018 and 2017, but he was deported in September of 2020. At some point, he came back into the country. More of our reporting showed that he was what Border Patrol calls a gotaway, which basically means, you know, someone who came into the country illegally, was not processed, and then let go and expected to, you know, appear for a hearing. He just got into the country. And then, of course, Ruby Garcia loses her life at his hands, allegedly.
I just want to go back a little bit because it's kind of an interesting twist. We've heard a lot of people saying this is a carjacking gone wrong, but it looks as though potentially they knew each other, which to me is a scary situation because he comes into the country, he befriends someone, she trusts him, she's 25 years old, he's 25 years old. He ends up killing her in such a violent manner. I mean, there's a lot of questions here that we haven't heard from the investigation. I'm assuming the investigation is still going on. Were they driving when this happened? He pulls off to the side of the road. I mean, like you said, this is a major highway, but how many more stories like this are we going to have to hear? Because we hear about Lake and Riley, we see the State of the Union address, and then just weeks later, we hear about Ruby Garcia. And again, I want to point out that Hillary Scolton is not saying anything about this until she's forced to. Hillary Scolton, again, she is the congresswoman in this area. This is one of her constituents who was brutally murdered. Her family has come out and said that she was the light of their life. They're devastated by this, of course, that this is going to hurt many, many lives in the Grand Rapids area. And yet, if you dig into Hillary Scolton's background, who I have to say comes off as like this, you know, Michigan mom type, and that's what the Democrats are really pushing is a Michigan mom coming out to protect you. She has not protected the people of Grand Rapids. In fact, I want to go through a few of her cases because she has defended some of the worst people that have come across the border and tried to keep them here.
Right. So prior to running for Congress, she first ran in 2020 and lost, and then she ran in 2022 and won. So she's running for re-election for the first time this year. But prior to running for Congress, she was an immigrant attorney for the Michigan Immigrant Rights Center. And her responsibilities, one of her responsibilities was to represent immigrants who were being threatened with deportation, and she was trying to keep them in the country. And so we published a story that detailed all of her background and why this is relevant to this Brandon Ortiz Ruby Garcia case specifically. So, for example, in 2011, she co-authored an article where she made the argument that the Eighth Amendment would protect certain people from being deported, and she considers some deportations cruel and unusual punishment.
And I just want to stop you there for a second, because we recently spoke with Ken Paxton, and I was talking to him about some of these Democrats in Michigan and what they're doing with the $500 a month and even this. And he was like, you have to understand, this is aiding and abetting a criminal. This is allowing them to continue. They've broken the law, and you're defending this. And she's going out there, not only trying to twist the law to their advantage, but also she's publishing articles saying, I'm going to reinterpret the law and say that this crime is covered. How can that even be?
Well, that's a good question. But this shows when she's not, you know, posturing in front of the camera and attempting to look bipartisan and all of that. If you look at her history, you can see where she really stands on these issues. And so in 2015, there was a woman, an Iraqi immigrant, who had been convicted and was a registered sex offender. She took up her case. Hillary Scolton took up her case and tried to prevent her deportation, even though she was a registered sex offender. And she has been an outspoken proponent of sanctuary cities and sanctuary counties, which we all know what that means. And in fact, in 2018, this took place in Kent County. And Brandon Ortiz is currently housed, or at least had been housed, in the Kent County Jail as his case proceeds. She actually advocated in 2018 that the Kent County Jail, does not work with ICE. So just imagine in a situation like in Kent County, if there was a rogue prosecutor who let him go for some strange reason. If Hillary Scolton had her way, ICE would not be able to work with the Kent County Jail to go pick him up. And he could potentially just be released into the community, never to be seen again. That's how radical her views are.
I think that's something that people need to understand. about sanctuary cities. We've talked about this recently. A sanctuary city is not just this nice, friendly place where people bring you bread baskets and welcome you into the neighborhood. This is a place where they want to actively keep ICE out. Anybody that is looking to see if there is someone who is a danger, someone who shouldn't be in this country, they want to keep you out. This is what Hillary Scolton worked to do. She worked to keep ICE out of our city in here in Michigan. And just so you know, if you're not in Michigan, no matter where you are, these people are out there. And that's why it's so important for you to understand who you're voting for. This is a woman who is up for re-election this year. She has played the game really well of I am this, you know, innocent soccer mom. I want to represent the people. Meanwhile, she has been working legally to allow people who are criminals, but also this is a man who she worked to say, hey, I want him, whether she knew it was him specifically, she was still working to say, I want him protected from anybody in the federal government who's going to say he's got to get out of here. And now a woman's life has been lost. These people need to be held accountable for what they've done. As far as I'm concerned, the things that Hillary Scolton has done in her life, the work that she has done, can be directly connected back to the fact that we have dangerous criminals on the street. And if you take that woman that you were just talking about, the Iraqi woman who was a convicted sex predator, sex offender, how much detail do we have on that? How do you become a convicted sex offender in the United States and not immediately get deported? She was the one standing in the way there. That's what happens, right?
Right. And we're digging into all of these because there's several examples of how she has, frankly, been in an America last person, both professionally in prior to running for Congress and during Congress, during her time in Congress. But I don't know the exact process. My guess is that people have the opportunity to fight a deportation, and that's where somebody like Hillary Scolton comes in and says, no, this person should not be deported. But while she has been in Congress since 2023, when she was sworn in, last year, just in the first couple months of when she was in Congress, there was a resolution that was introduced that would make assaulting a first responder a deportable offense. She voted against that. She voted against a resolution that would prohibit the use of public school buildings to house non-citizens. We've seen this story in New York and elsewhere where...
Right. Remember where the families were told your kids are going to be home today because we have to house illegal migrants who have not been vaccinated, who could be carrying illnesses in your school. They're going to be here. And then we're going to bring your kids back into this school. And the parents there were outraged. They could not imagine their kids had already been out of school for the pandemic. And now you're coming to me again and saying, we're commandeering this. And that's what I think people need to understand. This is big government at its finest. And this is something that Hillary Scolton supports. Big government coming in and confiscating your child's school and saying, we'll do whatever we want with it. Your kid will be back when we say your kid comes back. These are the votes that I think are really important for Republicans to make sure people understand. And that's where I say we have failed. The RNC has failed. They have not been able to, in the past, go out and tell the truth on these people. And people will say to me, oh, are you going to attack Democrats? No, I'm going to tell you the truth about them. We deserved in this district, in the 3rd District of Michigan, we deserved to know who we were electing. And that information didn't come out. That's why, to me, this is so important that we are exposing who she really is, because what she votes for is dangerous for our kids. This is absolutely on so many levels, going in and taking over my school, getting these people back out on the streets. See, Kyle, I think the thing that is concerning to me is this is also a woman who went on Fox News and was like, I am an advocate for making sure that we have good border control, that we are taking care of this issue, that we are strong on the border. She's a liar. She's the one out there trying to get these people freed.
Right. And she's, yes. And there was another resolution that was introduced that would prohibit housing of illegal immigrants on federally administered land. She voted against that. There was a resolution in January of 2024, this year, that specifically denounced, quote, the Biden administration's open border policies, condemning the national security and public safety crisis along the southwest border, and urging President Biden to end his administration's open border policies. She voted against that. So what I think her record shows is that she is, because as you indicated, she now is trying to posture like she wants to come up with a bipartisan solution to end the border crisis, to fix the immigration system, which is, I think everyone agrees, is very broken. The question is how you actually fix that. She now is trying to posture as, oh, she's just a reasonable, moderate person. But her record says otherwise. And her record creates these situations, or her activities and her advocacy creates these situations where people like Brandon Ortiz are able to stay in the country, are able to sneak back into the country once they're already deported, and then these sorts of horrible events take place.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is a very dangerous situation for the Grand Rapids area. She's obviously been a danger to Grand Rapids, a quiet danger for a long time. And I think that's the important thing, is that you don't necessarily know what these people are doing behind the scenes when they're advocating for ICE not to be able to come into the city, when they're advocating for sex offenders to go back out on our streets. And I can think of nothing more terrifying than that, as not knowing that there's someone here in this country illegally that is hurting kids or hurting people in that type of manner. And she's advocating for this. But you don't know this about someone who is not a public person. But now she is a public person. She's an elected official. And this is what she wants in a state where this is the common mentality of Democrats, because they are actively seeking to have more illegal immigrants in this state. And I say that because we see the bills that they're passing. And again, I go back to what Ken Paxton said about aiding and abetting these people who are breaking the law. And so that's what you have in the governor of the state of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. She signed a bill saying, you know what, if you as a homeowner want to take in a newcomer, that's the new word, a newcomer. I mean, these are the manipulations they play. They twist the words. They make it sound good. It's not a sanctuary anymore. It's a welcoming city. It's not an illegal alien anymore. It's a newcomer. And so you've got Gretchen Whitmer who says, okay, if you take a newcomer into your home, I mean, imagine this. You don't know who these people are. You don't know whether or not a Hillary Scolton has gotten them off and they have this terrible record. I mean, hopefully you can look a little bit of this up, but let's face it. If you are protecting these people from ICE, it's going to be hard to find out what their record is. And so, and again, we're not keeping track of these offenses. And therefore, you have Joe Biden out there celebrating that we have the lowest crime ever. No. You're just not keeping track of crime. So we have Gretchen Whitmer saying, if you bring a newcomer or an illegal alien into your home, the state will pay you $500 a month. This to me is totally insane because you could have people coming into your home. You know nothing about them. They could take over your house. How do you ever get somebody out of your home? The state will do this for up to 12 months. After 12 months, what happens to these people? There is no plan. This bill has no plan. There's no meat to this bill because they don't want to have meat in this bill. Vice versa. What if you have somebody who says, I'm going to take somebody in and then, man, I'll just have them cook and clean and they'll take care of me and they'll be like my little servant here. This is to me the most dangerous situation, but for a desperate administration that needs people in the state and wants to look like they are this humanitarian hero, this is what we get in the state of Michigan.
Well, yeah, this is not surprising from the Whitmer administration because she put together this, it was a population commission because Michigan is losing population, which is a very rare thing in the U.S. And so she put together this population commission to try and figure out, well, what new programs do we need to have, or what incentives does the state need to offer for companies to move here, for people to move here so our population will grow? And what they concluded was basically we need to focus on immigration and we need to focus on people migrating into the U.S. and or migrating into Michigan. And that's how we're going to grow the population. And it seems like it's a very flawed sort of way to go about it. And so this program that they've created where they're offering people $500 a month to house people, I think is completely on brand for what her strategy is, if you can even call it a strategy. But what's interesting is, I think, so you mentioned Scolton finally said something days after this took place. Gretchen Whitmer, at least as of the time we're talking now, has not said anything about this. Alyssa Slotkin, who wants to be the next U.S. Senator from the state of Michigan, has not said anything about this. And it's hard to understand what their motivation is, if they're just too busy, you know, tweeting about abortion or tweeting about beer or basketball flooring or whatever. They just can't get around to it. I'm not sure if that's it or if it doesn't quite fit the narrative. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, Gretchen Whitmer has been such a champion, at least that's how she's postured, a champion of women. Well, where is she saying anything about Ruby Garcia? Why isn't she saying Ruby Garcia's name? Why isn't she saying this is wrong. This never should have happened. We need to get to the bottom of why it happened and change policy if that's what we need to do to make sure that this never happens again.
Because it can be directly connected back to the people that she wants to either get reelected or elected to new positions, including herself. She is the co-chair of Joe Biden's campaign. She certainly can't come out and say, okay, well, one of his policies caused a complete tragedy in my state. But you know what? When you are governor of a state, you don't really get much of a choice. When you have a horrific murder, my goodness, if this were happening on Michigan State's campus again, she would be all over it. That's the disgusting part. If it affects her directly, if she can identify somehow with the victim, then she talks about the person. She apparently can't identify with Ruby Garcia. apparently Ruby Garcia is just a totally different type of woman for her, and she can't identify. I don't know. To me, it's totally disgusting. But I remember a few years back when Gretchen Whitmer's plan to grow the state was abortion, she said she was going to eat Indiana's lunch by bringing people here because they would get to have all the abortions they wanted. And it's like, I think someone must have taken her aside and been like, you understand what happens then. Like, maybe not the best population growth plan. So then she switched over to illegals. And she's like, okay, all right, maybe abortion's not such a great one. We'll bring in people and then we'll have people in Michigan house them. The danger of this plan is completely ridiculous. But she's also, I mean, she's using state funds to build housing. She's hoping that she can, as a state, build housing for people and then bring more people here. And then what, are we all going to live in government-funded housing? And the whole thing is, it's just reeks of big government, big government, big government. And I'm pretty sure that the people of Michigan are not for big government.
Well, to me, it really gets to the philosophy of how do you manage a state? How do you grow a state? And who should be attempting to do that? Should you rely on the private sector and unleash the potential of the private sector by decreasing regulation, lowering taxes, empowering people to have control over their own lives? Or do you
They don't want people to have control over their own lives. That's insane.
Well, that's the point. The alternative is what they are opting for, and that is, well, let's spend billions of dollars and rehab housing. And use Michigan taxpayer dollars to do that. Or let's provide, you know, massive incentives to foreign companies to come in and cross our fingers that they're not going to automate and they will actually have human beings, Michigan human beings, doing the jobs. And that's her philosophy, is using government to try and grow the economy, to try and grow the population, to try and improve academic outcomes, instead of trusting people, trusting parents, trusting the private sector and the free market, allowing those things to work. That's what we're seeing in other states. You mentioned Ken Paxton a couple of times. That's what we've seen in Texas. We've seen that in Florida. We've seen that in South Dakota, in other states. And then you've got states like Michigan and Illinois and in New York and California that they want this big government. We're going to tax you like crazy. We're going to spend all of your money because we know how to spend it better than you do. That's the philosophy, and that's the road that she has taken Michigan down.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think that if people understood who Gretchen Whitmer really is, they would be less inclined to hold her up. Now, maybe on the left, that's not the case. Maybe they're going to do it no matter what. But if you found out that she is taking, you mentioned corporations that promise jobs and then they automate. That's happened. She's given hundreds of millions of dollars to corporations in the state of Michigan who promise jobs. And then there's no repercussions. If the jobs don't come and they automate, they just still get the money. And that's the frustrating part. There's no ROI. I mean, you have no return on the taxpayer's investment. And I think for her, having no business experience, there is no need for a return on investment because she doesn't understand it. It's like it completely goes over her head. Oh, wait, I brought a company here. I should be given accolades. And we let her get away with it. And then she takes taxpayer money and she says, I'm going to give you free stuff. I'm going to give you free college, community. Every kid in Michigan will get 2 free years of community college, 2 free years of preschool. We'll get guess what? That's 4 years of school that we are paying for as taxpayers to unions, then that money goes right back into her pocket. The same thing with taking up $1.5 billion and putting it into housing. If you were bringing businesses here, American businesses that are also building up communities, which is how that works, that's how economic development works for Gretchen Whitmer, who clearly doesn't know that, then you don't have to have the state build housing, then those people are coming in with salaries, coming in with futures. They're building their own housing. We end up with a boom. We have had no boom. Michigan has been in dire straits for decades now. We had a small boost under Snyder, but again, he was a champion of China, which has, in the long run, hurt us. We need to be bringing American companies into the state of Michigan. And so far, we have not seemed to have a governor that understands economic development.
Well, and not just bringing American companies in. I agree with that. Because if you go to places like, you know, it's really interesting. If you drive to Milwaukee from Michigan, you have to go around Lake Michigan through Chicago. You cross the border from Illinois into Wisconsin, and there's major corporations virtually right on the border, and big companies that a lot of people have heard of. And that's because Wisconsin is a more favorable place to do business. And so instead of trying to bring more people in, bring more companies outside companies in, maybe the thinking should be, what do we need to do to make it easier for existing companies that have people already here, they have legacies here, sometimes multi-generational family legacies in these companies. What do we need to do to make it easier for them to stay here and to grow? Because you take restaurants, for example. During the pandemic, her lockdown orders cost 300,000 restaurant jobs. 300,000. A lot of those have come back, but a lot of them have not. And what if she went to restaurant owners and she said, what regulations do you have that we could repeal, that we could refine, that we could tweak, whatever it is, that would make it easier for you to hire people? But she doesn't think like that.
I laugh because that's just not in her nature or her administration's nature. I mean, we've talked to companies that have said, we're looking to leave. We're going to Texas. We've already bought the land because it's not just the overregulation. It's from so many different agencies that she completely overhauled. You've got the environmental agency, whereas she'll bring in Goshen and give no environmental review at all. We'll have companies that are suppliers to our legacy automotive industry, and they're saying, oh, you can't use this process anymore. You can't use this process. Well, guess what? That process is going to be used somewhere. So They're going to leave. They're going to take their 10,000 jobs with them. These are industries that are our biggest industries, and she's going after. The other thing she's done is this bizarro climate plan where we're going to have 100% renewable energy by 2040, 50% by 2035. I think we're at like 12 or 14% right now. And we have the highest energy costs in the entire Midwest. So if you're a manufacturing company, that's another turnoff. And if you, like to your point, if you were to go to our existing companies and say, hey, we're going to make sure that you're getting a low energy price. We're going to make sure that the actual energy continues to stay on because we have a problem with that too. But when she goes to these companies and says, hey, we're going to start putting solar panels around and hope that it doesn't snow too much on those. And we're going to put windmills in the lake and hope that people are okay with that destroying all the fish in the lake. Manufacturing companies are like, you know what? I'm going to go to Ohio. I'm going to go to Indiana. I want to feel safe because you have to have energy security. That's a number one priority. If you're going to run a manufacturing company is energy security. If you don't have the security that your lights are going to be on, that your machines are going to be running, you're not coming to Michigan.
Right. And she's trying to force these renewable energies into Michigan in a place that I think just historically, fundamentally, it's not equipped. So for example, there's very sunny areas of the country, Florida, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, et cetera, where there's sun pretty much, you know, when there's daylight. In a place like Michigan, there are places in the state of Michigan where this year there was literally 0 hours of sunshine in the month of January.
And that should not deter you from moving here. But yeah, I was kind of miserable.
And so, so you look at that stat and you think about the lack of sun in a lot of places in Michigan because it's cloudy because of the lakes and just the nature of it. How does a solar panel work when there's no sun?
How does it work covered in snow?
Exactly. But it doesn't seem like they really think about that or when the wind is not blowing. Because there have been a lot of studies done in the state of Michigan about where it makes the most sense to put wind turbines and where the most wind is. The studies have shown in Lake Michigan, that's where you're supposed to put them, or that's where you should put them.
And that's another gem from the Democrats who took away local control.
And so what they did was earlier this year, they passed a bill, or in 2023, they passed a bill that took away local control. And so what that means is a city or a township or a county cannot pass an ordinance that says we're not going to have wind turbines or we're not going to have solar panels. That power to make that decision has now moved to Lansing. And there's four bureaucrats who now are sitting and have that power to decide we're going to put a wind turbine on the top of a school. We're going to put a wind turbine in the middle of Lake Michigan. And you local communities who have to now deal with that, you have no say. You have no power. You have no control because we sitting in Lansing, we know what's best. And this is the philosophy that's going on.
And just so you're clear, when they put a giant wind turbine or a wind farm next to your kid's school, it's a huge power plant next to your kid's school. So all the people out there that are like, oh, this is so clean and this is so good for you, you've got high voltage just coursing through that entire area that's right next to where your kid is going to school. We don't know the effects of solar panels. We don't know the effects of these wind turbines in the lake. If you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard us talk quite a bit about what it's doing in the ocean. And this is the Democrats' America. You don't get a say. You don't get a say. They take this away from you. They take away local control. The farmer who has shared equipment with his neighbor for generations, suddenly the neighbor gets a big offer from Big Solar. And I say that because these guys come in and they offer you more money than your farm would ever be worth for farming because they know it's an offer you can't refuse. They shut down that farm. They shut down this farm. Then, you know, you've got the one family farmer left in the middle who's like, nobody's sharing equipment with me anymore. I can't afford to keep farming. We have an energy security issue. We have a food security issue. This is all fully connected to Democrat policies, and no one is saying this out loud. Again, I say to Republicans, if you are running, Do not make the mistake of running on issues that people will not care about. Tell them the truth about your opponent. Tell them the truth.
These are simple issues. It comes down to your personal security in your community, your kids' security, your family security, your financial security, your energy security. That's really what is at stake here. And elections have consequences. So when you elect someone like a Hillary Scolton or someone like a Gretchen Whitmer, there are consequences to that. And we're seeing those consequences play out. And so then the question is, well, are people organized? Are people motivated to make change? That's what, you know, remains to be seen. But there could not be a clearer contrast between visions of personal empowerment, relying on individuals and businesses to improve our economies, improve our communities, or this sort of top-down big government, we're going to tax you, we're going to spend you because we're going to spend your money because we know what's best. We know what sort of energy you need. We know where that should go. That's the philosophy that's at stake.
But they're crying now because before the Midwesterner.news, there was no one out there that was going to point out what they were doing. I mean, they had this state of Michigan locked up. The media was in their back pocket. They were never going to report anything negative. People would never have known about Goshen. No one would even know about Ruby Garcia. No one would know these things unless it were for the Midwesterner. So Kyle Olson, we appreciate what you do. He is the founder of the Midwesterner. Make sure you check it out. Give them support because he is the one exposing the truth. And like I said, in these upcoming elections, just tell the truth on your opponent. And that's what's going to make people go, okay, we're awake now. We're not going to let this happen. And we appreciate you because you do that every day with the Midwesterner.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you all for joining us on this edition of the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com and subscribe, or you can head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.